Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Welcome back to another episode of the Shift Spotlight, the show where we highlight visionaries, leaders, and change makers who aren't afraid to pivot, evolve, and change the landscape. Today on our incredibly special 100th episode, I can't believe we're here, but 100th episode, I am thrilled to introduce someone who lives and breathes intentional leadership, Megan Hickman. Megan is a certified EOS implementer, a speaker, Colby expert, entrepreneur, wife, dog mom, and self-proclaimed master of carrying all the groceries up in one trip. She helps leaders not just run better businesses, but better lives with clarity, purpose, and yes, a whole lot of traction. Whether she's helping teams align their vision, instill discipline, or build healthier dynamics, Megan is passionate about making business personal and powerful. Let's dig into how she's helping entrepreneurs maximize everything and tackle the shit list and other tools CEOs need to survive in today's modern business world. So, I mean, welcome to the show, Megan.
That is a heck of an introduction. I feel like we should probably just stop right there. Like,
yeah, okay. That's a cut. We're going to cut.
That's right. Cut. Good to go. Lock it and load it.
Well, we are so excited. Thank you for being part of our very special 100th episode. We really wanted you to do this episode because you're a mover and a shaker, and you're making some really cool things happen out there.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
At a high level, we're going to kick off with, you know, tell us what you do and who you love working with.
I, first of all, want to congratulate you. Happy 100. I feel like we should have glasses of champagne or some confetti cannons. I love it. I love it. So that is a massive milestone. Kudos to you. And thank you for the privilege of getting to join you today for this auspicious occasion. All right. So what do I do? I'll tell you, some days I wonder, but if I boil it down, what I do is pour into people. Like, that is my passion. I love pouring into people to help them live a more intentional life. And specifically, the way that I do that is as a certified EOS implementer. So what EOS is, it's the Entrepreneurial Operating System, and it is a complete comprehensive system that allows me to help leaders, CEOs, and leadership teams get everything they want out of their business. That's as simple as it gets. And so I get to be a facilitator, a teacher, a coach. I get to work with entrepreneurs and their leadership teams, and I get to help them create vision for their business, where it's going, how they're going to get there. I get to help them instill discipline and execution so they can gain traction to bring that vision to life. And I get to help them create a healthy, cohesive, functional environment where everyone enjoys working together along the way. It's like a dream job to get to do what I do every day. And it is an absolute joy and a privilege.
I mean, your passion, you can see it just rolls right through. So obviously you've got the skill set, but what drew you to this role? And like, was there a moment when you kind of knew this was going to be your calling?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I will tell you, my entrepreneurial journey started in the least entrepreneurial places, which is politics, right? Like the literal anti-entrepreneurial environment is bureaucracy. And that's where I started my career. I had a calling into servant leadership and had a real unique opportunity to work in politics for the first 6 to 8 years of my career, and learned a lot, primarily that the job I thought was my dream job wasn't my dream job. And I got a chance to do it. And I was like, wait a second, I'm miserable. And this is not what I want to spend the rest of my life doing. So I was fortunate that my next adventures put me on the path to business ownership, which I will tell you was never on my radar. And I jokingly say that being an entrepreneur is the greatest job I never knew I wanted. And I was really fortunate that I got brought into a company in South Carolina and within 2 years was offered partnership in that company. And that was my entree into entrepreneurship. And so around 2014, my business partner and I, we were like churning and burning and we pulled our head up and we realized everything felt harder than it should be. We were frustrated. We were slamming up against the same issues over and over again. Revenues had stagnated. We weren't having as much fun anymore. And that was when someone handed us a copy of Traction, which is the EOS textbook. And my business partner read it and was like, well, shit, this is what we've been trying to do for ourselves. And I read it and I was like, you're exactly right. And we started implementing the operating system in our business. And within the first roughly 5 years, we grew our business 65%.
Wow.
But even more than that, we were having fun again. And we felt like we had direction again, and we had tools to get everything we wanted out of the business. And so through that experience and we're using it and working our with it in our own business, we discovered we actually really loved EOS as its own standalone system. And during COVID, decided to simplify our life and sunset that legacy business and go all in on EOS, using what we learned about applying it in our own business to help other entrepreneurs do the same.
I think that's something very unique about what you can bring to your specific business owners you've been one. And so, you know, there are a lot of implementers out there and you don't have to be a business owner to
do a wonderful job. Right.
But I do think that's just an added value that not everybody gets exposure to because you're coming at it from been there, done that. Yeah. Right.
You're so right. So I take a lot of pride in the fact that I get to stand in front of a room, whether I'm talking to a group of leaders or a prospect or a warm lead, and I get to say, there is not a tool in this toolbox that I have not suffered through myself.
Right.
Everything we're going to talk about, I have had to struggle through implementing in my own business. So it's all coming from a place of experience and not theory. And I take a ton of pride in the ability to say that.
Yeah. It's not do as I say, not as I do.
That's right. Exactly
it's been there, done that. I know. And
I've got the scars to show it.
Yeah. And I understand why you're struggling with this because I can too.
Yeah, so exactly.
How do companies evaluate which implementer is going to be right for them?
Oh man, such a good question. So I like to share that there are three key factors to considering when you're choosing an EOS implementer. The first is budget, right? So all of us in the community have a different daily rate. We all teach the same pure tools and materials. We all approach it with the same passion. And some of us just have a different number of reps under our belt. So the first is budget, right? Taking into account what works for your company and for your budget. The second is schedule. Right? Some implementers, again, we're all at different stages in our journey. Some have more space to get started immediately. Others of us are more full and it's going to take a little while. So if you're a business leader and you're like, I'm ready to rock and roll right now, you got to find the right implementer fit schedule-wise. But one of the most important part, like the piece that is absolutely critical that sometimes I wonder if business owners actually don't think enough about is personality. It's style.
Yeah.
Like, do you have a gender preference? It's going to work best with your team. Do you want a facilitator that's more buttoned up or someone that's a little more laid back? Do you want one that's going to drop a couple four-letter words or that's going to be a little more professional in their approach? Recognizing the personality fit that's going to be best for you and your team is critical. So budget, schedule, personality, those are the three factors to picking the right implementer.
Yeah. And I totally think that the personality is really overlooked a lot, right? It's like you said, they all have a blueprint and everybody's kind of utilizing the same tools when they're working together, but how that gets applied or implemented through the business largely comes to the delivery. And I would be much more effective with a hit it, quit it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Four letter words are good in my book, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, some people need that water cooler. They're the high I, you know, and they need more of that water cooler talk to get it to land, right?
You're so right. And like, there is no better example of that. So I'm really fortunate. My husband and I both do this work. We are one of like four or five couple duos in the EOS worldwide community. It is an absolute joy. And he and I are completely different people.
Right.
And so it's just thinking about how we're different in the room, how we show up, is a perfect example of a personality fit. I'm like super high energy, shocker. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I'm giving high fives.
Can't tell.
Right. You'd never notice. And my husband takes, it's a more laid back, a more cerebral, a calmer approach. Yeah. And so listen, there's no right or wrong. It's important for you to understand what works best for your team and to look until you find that right fit.
Right. Right. I love that. So I kind of want to shift gears
and yeah.
I want to talk about this oh shit list. so obviously we're ones that use four letter words.
Indeed. I was going to say, you can probably guess where we fall on that spectrum.
so what exactly is the oh shit list? Like, where did that idea come from?
Yeah.
How do you use it with your clients?
You know, I am certain that this idea started as a nugget of inspiration from something I was exposed to. And I wish I could call what that nugget was, but essentially this is a tool to get the shit out of your brain before the gremlins start to wreak havoc. So here's how it evolved. I started noticing in my own life, when I got the anxiety belly, that churn in your stomach and in your brain where your stress level starts to tip over into overwhelmed. So it's important to understand the difference between stressed and overwhelmed. Like, stressed is I've got a lot on my plate and I know the next step.
Yep.
Overwhelmed is I've got a lot on my plate and I'm paralyzed.
Yep.
I was finding myself in that overwhelmed camp more often than I like. And so I had somewhere I was exposed to the recommendation to just sit and laundry list all that out. Get it out of your brain, get it on paper, put it in black and white. Now, I have a really strong bias toward action. So the process of brain dumping wasn't enough for me. And that's where I turned it into my own little special Megan twist. Gotcha. So it starts, the oh shit list starts with literally brain dumping all of the oh shit things that are bubbling around in your brain on paper, right? Take a 15 minute brain dump, get them all listed, personal, professional, you know, whatever it is, get it all out on paper. That's step one. Step two is take one pass through that list with a giant red marker and cross through anything that you don't have control over, right? Mm-hmm. Give yourself permission to go from hands gripped to hands open. Just let that go.
Yeah.
The third step. So step one, the laundry list. Step two, cross through the things you can't control. Step three, look through what's left and anything where there's a clear first step or next step that's emerging for you, write it down. Write it down. And you're naturally going to have a handful of things left on that list. So this is where step four comes in. The last step of the exercise is for those things where you're truly stuck. Take a look through the list and ask yourself, who is someone I could talk to in my world to give me some perspective on this and get me unstuck? And it is amazing what a difference that made for me and what a difference it's now making for my clients when they feel like they're tipping into overwhelm. And the gremlins are just chattering in their brain. It's a way to stop, get that mess out of your head, look at it in black and white, and turn it into action.
I mean, I just really feel that, right? Like, you hit here with it because
yeah.
You don't even have to be running a big business to know that this process is incredibly valuable. And,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
you do have therapists and you do have sure. friends and you do have all those things. But a lot of that is just cycling into the same stuff. It doesn't actually, the physical act, like, I mean, I'll show you. I'm not embarrassed to show you.
Yeah.
I have, this is yes. my calendar I do online.
Yes.
But I get great joy out of this. Crossing it off, like
dopamine hit.
Yeah,
right?
It is. It's literally, and like, you know, Ken's always like, why do you print out your electronic calendar? But there is some sort of joy and like accomplishment. I feel
yes.
like I cross that off.
Yes.
And
yes.
Like I
it's
totally
small
see
victories.
How, yes.
It's momentum and that matters.
Yeah, and I could see how this idea, can really help CEOs and entrepreneurs focus on what really matters. Because I would say out of that list, you're probably looking at 80% you can't control.
You are exactly right. And part of it is just the act of getting it out of your brain and on paper. Our brains tend to distort reality because all the noise starts to chime in. You get chatter. It starts to evolve into something that actually isn't real. Yeah. And so it's powerful just getting it out of your brain and seeing it in black and white, because it does something to remove the scary from it that exists when you just let it roll around in your brain. And so, yeah, the act of just crossing through those things that you're like, I don't have control over, and I'm a faithful person. So it's like, just like hand it back over to God or to whatever higher power you believe in. But there's something powerful in the ability to just let it go.
And, I had Dan Yates, he's the CEO of Endeavor Bank, on the podcast yesterday. And he said, if everything is important, nothing is important.
Amen. You are absolutely right.
And that kind of lines up with, this. So this kind of sounds like a crisis tool.
Yes.
So why do so many visionaries or leaders, they wait until they're in crisis mode before they ask for help or clarity?
I see it all the time. I will tell you, the trick is the best ones don't.
Mm.
Right? The best ones don't. And that's because they've learned from the pain, right? The best way to look back at the pain is to learn from it. It is our greatest teacher. And so the best visionaries and leaders recognize that you've got to preemptively address those things instead of reactively address them. However, if you are among the few that tends to be a little slower on the uptake when it comes to those lessons, which I myself am one of, it goes back to that difference between being stressed and overwhelmed. A lot of visionary leaders operate well. They have a high pain threshold for stress. But what they fail to realize is that there is a very thin line between being stressed and being overwhelmed. And oftentimes when you are so busy in it, when you've got such a threshold to succeed and even thrive in it, you almost don't even realize when you've tipped over that threshold, and it's almost too late. It's never too late, but it's now time to really intentionally take the pause, take the step, get the help and the clarity that you need. And when visionaries are so constantly under strain and stress of being in the business, I like to say, that's typically the best time that they need to stop and work on the business.
Right.
The time that they don't feel like they have to do it.
And so when a CEO gets overwhelmed or they get stuck, right?
Yes.
That's when things start to shut down. The system stop working.
That's right.
Everything. And it's hard to take that first step. So what is something that first step you help them to regain that clarity and control?
Yeah. So it's typically the last thing they want to do, which is stop, right? Be still.
Right.
Take some time to step away. There's this wonderful Chinese proverb that I am going to that I'm going to put in my own words, but it's everyone should meditate for 15 minutes a day unless you're too busy. And then you should do it for an hour, right?
That's great.
It ultimately, we have got to learn, CEOs, leaders, visionaries have got to learn to be still, to find your breath, to regain your confidence, and to get the swirl that's in your head out of your head and on paper so you can actually get back into motion. I find that when oftentimes it's that phase of overwhelm that's kicked in at that point. And the first step is to get yourself back out of overwhelmed into motion, right? Small wins lead to bigger wins, lead to momentum, and lead to being back on the right foot. So you got to find a way to get yourself back into that small win territory. Yeah. And that's where the oh shit list comes in, right? You got to stop long enough to do it in the first place. And I tell my visionaries all the time, the best time to do it is when you don't want to.
Right.
Just
in it.
That's exactly right.
All of it's right there. It's just like at the top of your throat.
That's exactly right. When you, it's like when you feel that anxiety belly, it's my red flag to say, I need to stop and I need to get this mess out of my head and get it on paper.
Yeah.
And so that's really the first step. It's to be still. It's to take a breath. It's to get that mess out of your head so that you can turn it into motion, right? Mess into motion, but you got to stop to be able to do it.
Yeah. And so you talk a lot about clarity breaks, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you talk about, you know, stepping away. Like, why is this so hard for leaders to do?
Oh my gosh. And let me be very clear, Winter. I am by no means a master at this. Like, there's part of me saying these things out loud that makes me realize I've still got so much more to learn.
Yeah. When you're talking to them, you're talking to you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I just want to hold up the mirror and look directly at it. And so, you know, Gina Wickman, the creator and the genius behind the entrepreneurial operating system, says, and I believe it to be true, we make all decisions out of love or fear.
Yes.
And it, in my own work on myself and on my gremlins and in my own journey to worthiness, what I have learned is that motion and busy is a way of avoiding the shit that I'm scared of, right? And I think that's one of the reasons why leaders avoid taking clarity breaks and stopping is because it's a defense mechanism, right? When you slow down enough, it's when the things you're avoiding are going to have an opportunity to catch back up with you.
Yeah.
And so I think it comes from a place of fear. There's this wonderful Brené Brown quote from Daring Greatly that I reference back to a lot, where she says, I stayed so busy that the truth of my heart and fear could never catch up. Right? It's a defense mechanism. Yeah. And so clarity breaks, like we make all sorts of excuses. I don't have time. I can't protect the time. There's more important things going on. I think ultimately all of that stems from a place of fear about what's going to catch up when you slow down long enough to let it, right? Yeah. When you quiet the noise enough to actually hear your instinct, what is it that you're afraid to listen to? And what's so powerful about it? Like what happens when you finally embrace that fear is that all those tiny voices of instinct that you were staying so busy you couldn't hear finally start to speak up again. And you start to unlock your best creativity, but you've got to slow down and you've got to quiet the noise in order to do it. And that can be a really terrifying thing. Like, it's still a scary thing for me.
Yeah.
Hi there. This is Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. What's holding your company back? It's often blind spots in leadership, miscommunication, misaligned priorities, and untapped growth opportunities. GCE's 360 assessment provides crystal clear insights into your team's strengths and challenges. Then one of our leaders will work with you to turn those insights into an action plan, ready to build a stronger aligned team that can execute against your vision. Learn more about our 360 assessment today.
And I mean, the thing that you're scared to do is the thing that you need to do.
Oh my gosh. What is that? Like, if you spot it, you got it.
Yeah.
Right. Like if it's
totally.
Oh man, if it's irritating you about someone else, it's probably a key indication. It's something you possess in yourself. And, you know, we are, my therapist likes to tell me we are feeling beings that occasionally think. And even those of us who don't think we're very good at feelings, which I am one of, everything we do, all the busy, all the motion is stemming from emotion, right? It's all stemming from feeling that we're either working to embrace or working to avoid.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And this is where you can really kind of see with you, your special sauce, right? It's like, so we've got the oh shit list,
right?
We've got these clarity breaks. Those are things that obviously Megan Hickman advises people on.
Absolutely.
So what other tools are useful to CEOs to help them stay sane and effective?
So there are three things that I recommend every entrepreneur or CEO has and or does. The first is you got to have a peer group, right? You need people who are experiencing the same pain you are that you can learn from and share with, right? Being a CEO, being a visionary, being an entrepreneur can be really freaking scary and lonely sometimes. And yeah. So having peers where you can be courageous and share and find compassion and connection and know you're not alone is really powerful. So every entrepreneur needs a peer group. Number two, every entrepreneur needs a coach, right? Whether that is, that comes in the form of a therapist or an actual coach or a spiritual or soul coach, whatever it is, you need a coach, someone that's working one-on-one with you to call out your BS and hold you accountable and help lift you up. And the third thing that CEOs need is an operating system, right? You need a system to help run and manage your business, because if you don't, it's going to run and manage you. So I am a strong believer that every CEO needs those three things in their world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, excellent. Like, how powerful to be able to know that, like, what you want as a CEO and what you envision for yourself can actually happen with some really simple tools. This
That's
doesn't
right.
mean going to hire 20 people, you know,
that's right.
This doesn't mean totally pivoting what you sell. These are just some simple implementations
that
you can start to do to regain control.
That's absolutely right. And I will tell you another resource that has just recently sort of come into the environment that I love. It's a new passion project for Gino Wickman, and he's partnered with Rob Dubay to do it. And it's called the 10 Disciplines. Mm-hmm. And it's a program. It can be done self-paced, or you can join a cohort. So remember, peer group, right? And it is just a way to work through these 10 disciplines that really came out of Gino's experience working with entrepreneurs, creating the entrepreneurial operating system, doing 1500 daily sessions with entrepreneurial leadership teams. And so there are so many resources out there. That one in particular, the 10 disciplines, I think is really powerful. Things like say no, be still, don't do $25 an hour work, right? It's not groundbreaking concepts, but when you actually take a look at applying them in your own world, you realize how powerful they can be.
And I think that, like, there is this thing with owners and founders specifically, where when they first get into their business, they're kind of doing it all. And they're proud that they're doing it all, right? Because you know, they handled that marketing and they handled that launch and they handled this. And then, like, as you grow and you pass these things off, like, you actually don't, because there is this sort of pride that's still connected to the fact that, you know what, I did it all and I did all of this and I can do all of this. But you're right. This $25 hour, you're above this now. And if you need to rise to that visionary level and you need to be that person that takes the company to what it is, you will never get there on your pride.
You are exactly right. You know, I draw this image on the board during my very first full day session with all of my clients. And it's a concept called hitting the ceiling. And it's this image that really depicts the way organizations and individuals grow. And it's through a period of evolution, right? Upward momentum, you're humming along, you're growing, you're building something until you slam up against a ceiling of complexity.
Yeah.
Right. And it could come in the form of any different shapes and sizes, but you're inevitably going to hit it. And one of three things happens. You either hit it and you have no idea what to do and you close your doors. It's why 80% of businesses never make it past the first 5 years.
Yeah.
Second scenario, you hit it, you accept it, and you just stagnate. Or the third, and this is what entrepreneurial teams do and what entrepreneurs are genius at, is they just chip away at that ceiling of complexity, right? They chip away and they chip away and they chip away until eventually they're able to bust through it and keep moving forward. Well, all of that chipping away creates a period of what we call revolution, right? Mm-hmm. And we know revolutions are messy and uncertain and they're frustrating and they can be a little bloody. Hopefully that's proverbial and not literal, but they're not fun times, right? But the revolution is inevitable to bust through that ceiling and continue your upward evolution. Now, here's the kicker. Is that if you think about each of those chapters, those evolutions and revolutions and evolutions and revolutions, what worked for an entrepreneur at those earlier chapters of evolution are not going to work with them for them at later stages of it. And so part of the revolution is shedding and delegating and elevating in your own unique ability and your own purposeful work. But it is wildly difficult to do. It can be very insecure feeling. It can be difficult to relinquish control. And it is the only way your business will grow and scale.
Yeah. I mean, it is just, it is not easy.
No, it is not.
These decisions and roles and growth. But, you know, I'll do another Tony Robbins quote. If you're not growing, you're dying, right?
Yeah. And
so if you get stuck, you aren't growing. So
you're right. And there's no learning in the comfort zone, and there is no comfort in the learning zone. And so it's just recognizing.
You got a whole bunch of great one-liners.
Listen,
on there.
It's part of being a fact finder. I store them up like little squirrel nuggets that just pop out. It's recognizing that the pain of letting go, right? The pain that comes along with delegating, the pain of growth is so far superior to the status quo.
Yeah.
And you just got to lean into that revolution, and you got to keep trying, and you got to keep shedding, and you got to trust the people that you're putting in place behind you to catch it and run with it. And you just got to lean in because your business deserves it and you deserve it. And it's the only way to scale.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, okay. Let's wrap up with a couple fun things.
Yeah.
You love assessments.
Oh my gosh. A junkie, complete junkie.
What are your favorites besides Colby?
Yeah. So I know besides Colby, but I have to just say a quick moment of a debt of gratitude to Kathy Colby, who just recently passed from a short battle with cancer. What an incredible impact that woman has had on my life and just millions of lives around the world. I'm a huge fan of that tool. One of my other favorites is the PRINT assessment. So this is an assessment that looks at your intrinsic motivators for why you take action, right? So it's looking at it across a series of categories and really digging into what motivates you to get into motion. And what I love about this particular assessment is that it looks at what motivates you when you're at your best. And because we're humans and we're imperfect creatures, it looks at how that manifests in your shadow side and your triggers. And I will tell you, when I read that report for the first time, I was so convicted. I was like, that can't be me. And then it was absolutely me. And so it was such a gut check in the best, healthiest kind of way. So I love the PRINT assessment. Big fan of Strengths Finder, Colby. Those are the three I probably reach for most often.
I'm going to guess on my PRINT assessment what it would say, my highest motivator. I've learned this about myself over time.
Yeah.
If my world is not clean, I am not productive. And
I love
so
it.
Like if I need to do something or record a webinar or, you know, the desk has to be all done and all perfect and all whatever. And then I can knock it out. But if there's papers over here or whatever,
it's just, and
it took me forever to figure that out. Like I would be like, why am I just not motivated to do this?
And yes.
And then I would do something trivial, like organize the little, you know, pins over here.
Yes.
And I would notice that, okay, you know, so I would love to do that sometime.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And, and you know, it's, that stems to things being perfect and right, right? Perfect is a charge word, but the idea that you want to make your world around you tidy and right is really important. And listen, anyone who says an assessment is an end-all be-all, like this is the one, they're blowing smoke. None of them are. They're all giving you tiny pieces of your own puzzle, right? There's this image in my brain that I love. And this is how I think about assessments is it's as if you take an elephant and you surround it with millions of tiny ants, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you were to go ask an ant, describe to me what an elephant is. Well, they're going to tell you an elephant is the tail, right? Because that's all they see. If you went and ask another ant, they're going to say, well, an elephant is the trunk because that's all they see. But if you were to combine all the individual perspectives of those ants surrounding that elephant, you get the whole picture.
Wow.
So all these assessments, all the work that we do, the learning, all of it is just one more ant's worth of perspective to help paint a bigger picture of who we are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautifully said. Beautifully said.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So we are going to close this out with a rapid fire question.
Okay.
And you just have to say the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay. This could be dangerous.
This is going to be the CEO chaos edition of
okay.
it.
Okay. All
but
right.
Before we get to the rapid fire,
yeah,
I'm going to ask you one more question. And
okay.
That is, if you could hand every CEO a short survival guide for leading through chaos, what would be on the first page?
Oh man. So it's a term called the Stockdale paradox. And it comes from General Stockdale, a survivor, a prisoner of war survivor from the Vietnam War, who was drawing observations about the POWs who actually survived and made it out. And ultimately what it boils down to, and man, I don't think there's any better time than right here in this moment with the complicated geopolitical dynamics we've got going on in our world to lean into this Stockdale paradox, where it says leaders have got to be able to hold two things in your hands at the same time. On one hand, you have got to be able to acknowledge the brutal truth and reality of what's happening right here in this moment. You got to be able to do that. You got to be able to get down to brass tacks and get to the show, look at the data, look at the reality of where you are. That you have to hold in one hand. And at the same time, in your other, you have to hold true to hope that it will get better. Right. And I think if I could encourage CEOs to lean into anything during times of uncertainty, it's that paradox, right? That the brutal facts and truth and the reality of what is, and hope that it will get better. Hold those two things in your hand at the same time and just freaking stay in motion.
Wow. That's great. I mean, so beautifully said.
Thank
you. Truly. All right. Moving on to rapid fire.
All right. Ready.
Red or white wine?
Red, for
red,
sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Pickleball or tennis?
Yeah, I stink at both. So pickleball. That's fun these days. Yeah.
Yeah, pickleball. What is the most overused business buzzword that secretly drives you nuts?
Oh yeah. Oh, this
I'm
one's
going
easy.
After you, but you go.
Oh yeah. Oh, mine's synergy. Ugh.
Oh.
Makes
oh.
me crazy.
Mine's scale.
Ooh.
You know, not everybody wants to scale. And it's like,
that's okay.
So used. It's like people want to grow, they want to do big things, but like not everybody wants to scale.
That is exactly right. Bigger, bigger and better has 1,000 different interpretations.
Yes, yes. What's the weirdest thing that you've ever written on your oh shit list?
All right. So, there's a much longer story here that we won't get into. But it's possums. Yeah. A terribly embarrassing story, where we had a possum in our house, and God. I'll give you the punchline. It ended up being my fault. Yeah. But there's a period of about 3 days where we didn't know where those suckers were getting in. And it was all over my oh shit list until I realized that I left the door open and welcomed it in. So
there is nothing like a rodent to get into your oh shit list and your crawl. And I had a bout of squirrels that
failed us. I mean, that possum was walking past the dog for 3 nights in a row in the middle of the night. The dog never even stirred. So
yeah, it's funny how that can just.
Oh man, this is definitely the weirdest thing that's ended up on that list.
Clarity break, mountains or beaches?
Oh, mountains for sure. I'm a mountain girl.
Oh, okay.
Makes me feel small. Something about the nature bathing and the trees and the heft of a mountain makes me feel small in all the best ways.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be another one of the most overly used pictures in business is the mountain climb.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there is but there is no mountain. The mountain is. It's right.
It's just there. Yeah. It's always one thing every CEO should stop doing today.
It's gonna harken back to the conversation we've had today. It is rationalizing their control issues and convincing themselves that they're okay. They're not.
Yeah, they're not. Craziest thing that happened to you during an EOS quarterly without divulging any confidential info.
Yeah. All right. So I've done a quarterly in a hurricane. That was pretty wild. I had a client suffer a panic attack. And, you know, we do really hard work, right? We talk about hard things and it can get wildly uncomfortable. And I had a client suffer a panic attack. So I've since trained myself on how to properly respond to someone suffering from a panic attack. And I have had like some knockdown, drag out, screaming matches. So those are luckily the sessions haven't been too wild, but hurricane, screaming match, and a panic attack. Those are pretty top of the list.
Awesome. Okay. Last thing, something you're learning right now.
It is ironically to take my own advice. I'm on a journey to try and create more margin and more space in my life to get more clarity, to work through my own oh shit list. And turns out, feelings have to be felt. Who knew? And so I'm learning the hard way that I got to stop and do a little bit of that work on myself. So learning to take my own advice these days.
Yeah. Well, I honestly could not have hosted a more powerful guest for our 100th episode. There is so much goodness in here. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch this myself several times.
Thank you.
But it was
so much fun.
Absolute delight having you on the show today.
And I want you to imagine I'm popping a confetti cannon right now to celebrate the 100th episode. I'm just thrilled for you.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.